أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We will look at Surah Al-Masad, Istafsir. This surah is also called Surah Al-Lahab, as it is mentioned in the first ayah. Another name is Tabbat, also mentioned in the surah. Then the third name is Al-Masad. This surah was revealed in Mecca, as Abu Lahab lived in Mecca. In Surah An-Nasr, there is good news for those who are obedient to Allah. And this surah contains warnings for those who are disobedient. This was specifically revealed regarding Abu Lahab, and his end result is mentioned, and for his wife as well. Both were staunch enemies of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were both constantly trying to harm the Prophet. Despite the fact that Abu Lahab was Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's paternal uncle and the Prophet's next door neighbor, both their homes shared a common wall, but he had such enmity and hatred for the Prophet that whenever he would be praying, he would throw filth upon him, and if there was a pot of food cooking, he would throw filth in it from above. The Prophet ﷺ was so patient and would only say, "Is this the right of a neighbor?" His wife was no less, and she was the sister of Abu Sufyan. Every day at night, she would spread out thorny twigs and bushes outside the door of the Prophet ﷺ. So when he would exit in the morning, he would get hurt. Two of Prophet ﷺ's daughters had their nikah with two of his sons. He told his sons he could be cut off from them unless they both divorced the daughters of the Prophet. So both of the sons obeyed their father and divorced the daughters of the Prophet. One of his sons, Utaybah, went as far as to announce his divorce with the daughter of the Prophet and spat on him. Then his own outcome was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam supplicated to Allah against him because of the torment they were inflicting upon him. He prayed to let loose a dog from the dogs upon him. Utaybah said, "I denounce your religion and divorce your daughter. She doesn't love me, nor I love her." And the way he attacked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ripped his shirt. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam invoked Allah against him, he became fearful, even though they didn't believe him, but they knew the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was truthful, and they also believed that the prayers and invocations were accepted in the city of Mecca. So when Utaybah was traveling to Asham for trade, at night the caravan set up camp to rest. They saw a lion coming, so they put all their belongings together in a big pile and put Utaybah on top so he wouldn't be harmed. He was fearful due to the invocation of the Prophet ﷺ against him. So at night, the lion came and went about the people sleeping. Then it climbed up on top of the pile of goods and attacked Utaybah. Utaybah started to scream and started calling his people that he would be ripped up, just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had invoked against him. So the lion took his head and killed him, and took him amidst the people. Now we will look at the surah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Tabbat yada Abi Lahab. Perished the two hands of Abu Lahab. What is this being said? These are words of supplication against Abu Lahab, that may his hands perish. When was this said? When was the surah revealed? In the beginning of revelation, the Prophet ﷺ conveyed to the members of his household. Then the command came, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. In Surah Ash-Shu'ara, Ayah 214, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to warn his near relations and other people of the tribe. So in obedience to Allah's commands, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the mountain of Safa. This is the place where we begin to do sa'i. So next time we go for Umrah or Hajj and we get upon Mount Safa, we should remember how that was the place where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had called out to his people. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered all his tribesmen there. In those times, the tribes were warring among each other. Some tribes were friends of one another, and others they had enmities with. So those who were on terms of friendship were called Halif. So the tribes were always on guard. If another tribe was to attack them, whenever any member of a tribe perceived danger, he would get upon the Mount of Safa and call out, Ya Sabaha, Ya Sabaha, be alert, be alert. It's morning, be alert, it's morning. Why was morning mentioned? Because attacks would normally take place early in the morning. As we learn in Surah Al-Adiyat, so when this call was made, all the members of the tribe gathered to hear the news. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also called out, Ya Sabaha, Ya Sabaha, and called on the Quraysh specifically, and said, O Quraysh, if I were to tell you that there is an army ready to attack you and is behind this mountain, would you believe me? They all unanimously said they had never heard a lie from him. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, I am warning you of even a more severe torment, something even worse and bigger than the enemy behind the mountain. The Prophet ﷺ warned them that there is a bigger danger, and if they didn't leave their idol worship and believe in one Allah, they would face a severe torment. Then the Prophet ﷺ explained the Tawheed to the people. Some people accepted, but Abu Lahab was an enemy from that time. He said to the Prophet ﷺ, May you perish. Did you call us for this? Then this surah was revealed. Although perishing of his hands is mentioned, it refers to his eternal loss. Rabia bin Abad narrates this event. He said, I had not accepted Islam at that time, but I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to the people, O people, say La ilaha illallah, and you will be successful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam worked very hard to convey this deen to the people. Therefore, we are greatly indebted to him. It was because of his hard work and effort that the deen reached to us today. Today, people feel shy or even afraid to say the truth to someone. They fear loss of respect or status. While the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go out to the markets and tell people, O people, say La ilaha illallah, and you will be successful. The Prophet ﷺ was the most noble person in the world. Yet how concerned he had for others' salvation. He would go to the markets. What is our respect and honor in comparison to him? Yet we do not even say what is right to people, fearing loss of respect, and feel shy to even practice deen ourselves. Rabia bin Abad said, I saw a man with a bright face and a squint or cross eyes and two braids in his hair, following after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was saying, O people, he is an apostate and a liar. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would keep inviting people to Islam. And this enemy kept following after him, saying this. Rabia said, "I asked people who this man following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. They said, this is his uncle, Abu Lahab. When someone faces pain from their own, it hurts even more, knowing that it is their own, yet how they behave. If he didn't say anything, it would have been a different matter, but he exceeded in his enmity towards the Prophet of Allah. Wherever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go, he would follow after and tell people he is a madman, a majnoon, and gave him other bad names, and told people not to turn away from the worship of their idols, specifically Lat and Uzza. He would say, he is leading you to misguidance, and don't listen to him. Any ordinary person would think that this was his own uncle who was saying this about him. So his own affair at home wasn't good, using this as a criteria for someone's correct testimony. While this is not always the case, it is possible a person is upon truth and the relations do not listen to their calling, but want to remain upon falsehood and oppose them. What is important to look at is what is the truth, not how many relations believe in him and follow after him. It is possible that his family doesn't listen, but those who are not related take heed and believe in them. It is possible that those who are near and dear do not care and listen, but those who are out of family listen. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated that Abu Lahab had already perished. This is a supplication against him, and this is a big matter. As long as the Quran is recited, he will be supplicated against, and this is a big perishing for him. There were others who were staunch in opposition to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tried to harm him, such as Abu Jahl. But Abu Lahab had exceeded in his enmity and was a coward and stingy. Also, being a relation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, exceeded in his misconduct towards him. Not just him, but his family was also with him in his enmity and disbelief of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were other enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he is the only staunch enemy of the Prophet mentioned by name in the Quran. Even Pharaoh is mentioned, but he was not from the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We learn about enmity of Abu Jahl and Walid bin Mughira mentioned in the ayahs of the Quran, but their names are not mentioned. Here, Abu Lahab is mentioned by name, and supplication is made against him. He not only inflicted harm to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would also mock him and say, "My nephew says, there is either Jannah or Jahannam. May my hands perish. I do not see anything. I do not see any Jannah or Jahannam," saying as a mockery. Upon this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "May the hands of Abu Lahab perish." Wattab, and he perished. This supplication was accepted against him. And for one whose both hands have perished, then what else is left? And this is information about what will surely happen to him. This surah is number 6 in Revelation, meaning this was the 6th surah to be revealed, and it was the beginning Meccan period. In the beginning it was revealed, and this man until his death never accepted Islam. The news from Allah, Wattab, that he perished became true. We will learn how he perished in the next ayah. مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ. Did not benefit him his wealth nor his children or whatever he earned. When he would be among his people, they would say to him, "You treat your nephew so badly. What if what your nephew is calling people to is true? They would say, "What would you do?" He said, "I have so much wealth," as he was very wealthy. He said, "I will give my wealth and ransom myself." We see how wealth makes a person arrogant. Because of this wealth and pride of it, he opposed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and was fearless about it. وَمَا كَسَبَ, and whatever he earned. The earnings he earned, that too would not help him. The word kasab is also used to mean children. In a hadith, Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha narrated about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "The best food one consumes is one earned by one's own hands, and your children are also from your earnings." This is in Tirmizi, Abu Dawud, Nisa'i, Ibn Majah, and Musnad Ahmad. So children are also considered earnings of a man, and these earnings will not benefit him. How? When this man kept opposing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the entire time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Mecca, he was one of his worst enemies until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated. This was a very long time. So he did not perish for a long time since the ayahs were revealed. There is an appointed time for the commands of Allah to be executed. Allah gave him a long respite. It wasn't that as soon as the surah was revealed and he perished immediately. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina and the Battle of Badr happened, he didn't join in the battle himself. He was a coward. So he sent other big chiefs of Mecca. He gave money to someone. It is said possibly 4,000 dinars at that time, which was a big amount. He gave that amount of money to someone to go and fight on his behalf. From fear of his own death, he remained in Mecca. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give him an exemplary death. After some days of Battle of Badr, a Muslim woman, Fadl radiyallahu ta'ala anha, hit him on the head with a log of tent, which injured his head, because of which he caught an illness and his entire body was covered with ulcers. It is also mentioned that an abscess erupted in his armpit from plague, and it was considered contagious at that time, as towns after towns would perish from the illness. So the people became fearful of its spreading. So his family expelled him from his house. After a little time, his entire body became rotted, and smell started emanating from it. No one would go near him or touch him. So he died in this sickness. Because of the horrible stench emanating from his body, his dead body was left unattended for 3 days. Out of fear of plague spreading and the horrible stench, someone reprimanded his sons. How could he leave his dead father's body unattended? So they both said, "We fear getting his sickness." So they hired some black men and, without ritual bath, threw him from a high place, or used sticks to throw him in a pit that they had dug to bury him. Then they threw dust and stones upon his body, so not to even go near his body. This was his exemplary punishment. We also learn of Mirza Qadiani, who had attested to prophethood recently. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him a horrible death as an exemplary punishment upon him. If those who follow him and believe in his being a prophet, if they only saw his horrible death, would never believe in him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows the outcome of those who are evil. He died in a toilet in the worst way. This is what happened to Abu Lahab. How did his wealth come to his aid? It was left in this world. The Prophet ﷺ said, three things go with a person when he dies. His wealth, which is only used to prepare for his burial shroud, or for expenses for the burial. This is as far as his wealth goes. Second is his family, who goes to the cemetery to bury him. And the third are his deeds. Only they will go with him. A person has only three friends, two remain in the world, and only one goes with him. Abu Lahab had said that his wealth and children would help him. His wealth stayed in this world, and his children abandoned him before he even died. This is the wealth that man runs after without regard of halal or haram, and uses all means to acquire it. As we see, disputes in families arise due to the wealth. Some lawsuits are in court due to fights over this wealth, and family members do not speak to each other because of it. But only if people realize, as soon as the eyes close today from death, who will take this wealth with them. Many kings and rich have left this world, but they could not take their wealth with them, rather left it here in this world. People envy many rich and wish they have what they have. While even Qarun had so much wealth, even Abu Lahab had wealth. But what was their end? Therefore, when wealth comes with disobedience of Allah, or leads to disobedience, then it is only destruction of the persons. People have begun to equate wealth with tranquility, thinking if they have wealth, they will have all the peace and tranquility and comfort. While even if someone has great amount of wealth, and there is only disobedience of Allah, and have deprived rights of others, then this wealth will not bring comfort. While if someone has less, but from halal, a person can sleep with peace and tranquility. Now his outcome is mentioned. سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبٍ. Soon he will enter a fire full of flames. He would take pride and say, I am Abu Lahab, because his hair were as flames. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this outcome, and he will enter a fire that throws flames. And his wife, who was with him in disbelief, rejection, and being obstinate. We see that half of the surah is for Abu Lahab, and the other half is for his wife. وَمْرَأَتُهُ, and his wife, حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبِ, who carries wood. She would carry and bring wood so she could instill harm to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She would bring piles of woods. فِي جِيدِهَا حَبْلٌ مِّن مَّسَدٍ, in her neck is twisted rope of palm fiber. Masad is a strong rope made either of date palm or coconut trees or even metal wires. In this world, she would gather wood in a pile and carry it on top of her head, and then had a rope on her neck so it wouldn't fall. This became a means of her punishment as well. She was once bringing this pile of wood from somewhere, and she sat down tired. The pile of wood fell down, and the other end of rope, which was tied to her neck, tightened, and she choked and died. On the day of resurrection in hell, she will be one to carry firewood for her husband. She will bring it and put it in her husband's fire, just as she accompanied her husband in the world to instill injustice. Likewise, in hellfire, she will help to administer his punishment in the fire of hell. She will be in the fire herself and will help to increase the punishment on her husband. we learn that she was among the influential women of Quraysh. She would incite her husband against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once, when this surah was revealed, she came enraged while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in the haram with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. She came and said to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "I have heard your companion has criticized me." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting there, but she could not see him. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was afraid that she would harm him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Don't worry." So she came. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to her, "I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba that he does not recite poetry." She said, "You believe in him?" Then she turned back and left. Abu Bakr was surprised and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "That didn't she see you?" The Prophet said, "Yes, an angel hid me." It is also mentioned from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that when this surah was revealed, she came with a stone walking towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr. While she couldn't see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said that your friend is making defamatory poetry about me, and we deny him, and we have enmity to his deen, and we disobey him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared such a punishment for her in hell, where she will continue to carry the firewood and add to her husband's fire. Hammalat al-Hatab was also a proverb among Arabs for one who backbites a lot, as a person who carries wood and ignites fires, just as a backbiter who complains to people and ignites hatred in people. She would backbite and complain about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. What did we learn from this surah? That Abu Lahab nor his wife both did not believe, and not everyone is at the same level in disbelief. Abu Talib did not believe either, but he did not show enmity to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this person, he exceeded in his opposition to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Deen of Islam, so much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent ayahs against him, and he never obtained guidance. In ayah 2, we learn that no matter how much anyone gathers in the world, nothing will go with them, no matter how many safes one fills with money. But if they have earned displeasure and wrath of Allah, then in the end, as soon as a person dies and enters the grave, the wealth will be worth zero. The third matter regarding his wife, who was an influential woman. Many times men listen to their wives, who have a say and are listened to. She influenced her husband in the wrong way. Neither her husband was from those who believed, nor she believed herself. We see how a wife can influence her husband's thinking, and the way a woman, as a mother, can teach her kids. A husband cannot do it. We learn about another woman whose husband was Fir'aun. She did not support her husband in his disbelief, so she became Asiya. For her, doors of heavens were opened. Her house in the hereafter is in Jannah near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now here we are shown a different type of a wife. Her husband was evil, and she was with him in his enmity. If she had not supported her husband in his evil behavior, she could have saved herself, but she chose not to do that. So no woman can make this excuse that my husband doesn't let me do worship of Allah or obey Allah in many matters. It is important to remember that the commands of Allah will supersede over the sayings or the wishes of a husband. And when there is clash in obedience of Allah and listening to a husband, then listening to a husband is not allowed, nor can be supportive. in his wrongful ways, even have to hear taunts or feel hurt from his negative comments. Enduring this is easier than having to endure the punishment of the hereafter. She ruined herself, so Allah gave every person an intellect and an ability to think, whether it is a man or a woman, a husband or a wife. No one should listen to the other to put their hereafter at stake. No matter if it is a wife who encourages her husband to disobedience, and the husband shouldn't listen. And no matter how much say and control a husband has in the matters of a family, even then, in an effort to please him, a wife shouldn't put her hereafter at stake. We learn that in hell there will be a rope of fire around her neck, which she will be dragging around amidst hell. In her life, she would bring the wood to instill harm on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we learn of the rope Allah has prepared for her in the hereafter. It is also said she had a valuable necklace with her, and would say, if she had to sell her necklace to incur the cost of harming the Prophet, she would sell that too. She had exceeded in her opposition. So in its place, she will get a chain of fire around her neck. In the world, she used a twisted rope made of palm fibers. Urwa said, in hell, this will be a chain of hell. Its every chain will be 7 cubits long. Sufyan Thawri says, this is the iron collar on her neck, and its length will be 70 feet. This is because of what she did in her life, and whatever punishment a person receives in hell matches the deeds done in the world. For example, if someone devours the wealth of an orphan, they will be filling their bellies with flames of fire. The wealth a person wrongfully devours will take form of flames of fire. She had put a rope of fiber around her neck in the world, so she will have a rope of fire upon her neck in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this outcome and give us the ability to walk upon Deen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Please listen to the recitation.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب سيصلى نارا ذات لهب سيصلى نارا ذات لهب وامرأته حمالة الحطب في جيدها حبل من مسد